So go.
This is the Relax Cast. This is the...
Welcome to a relaxing evening with the Trilogy Podcast. Here on my bedroom floor.
We might just fall asleep halfway through and stop recording. Because we are lying on the floor of your bedroom.
Yes.
Not on the bed, which I thought we should, you know, just make it official.
Doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right. You're not my wife. It'd be weird.
Well, says who? Maybe not legally.
Yeah. My house is full of a bunch of a roller derby team.
Yes.
A bunch of roller derby girls.
Yes.
So we had to abandon our usual recording space and come here to the bedroom because it's the only room in the house that's actually quiet where we can record.
Because they can hurt us.
Yes, they can hurt us. Very dangerous.
Very, very dangerous situation. This is Trilogy 39, by the way. Everything comes in threes.
Almost at 40.
Almost at 40.
So close.
Then we'll get that Judd Apatow movie when we hit 40.
Fuck Judd Apatow. Hate that guy. Useless.
What's he ever do to you besides make movies that you don't
made
like?
This is 40.
He made Freaks and Geeks, so I think he... That makes up for it for me.
I don't think so.
I do.
Nope.
So,
what are we talking about today, Chris? Well,
we're going to be reviewing Dread from Marvel. Is it Marvel? No, it's not Marvel. 2000 AD comic, something like that.
Did we not research this thoroughly enough?
Son of a bitch.
Really? We don't know
what based Dread on is? British, oh, based on the British comic, 2000 AD.
Which fell into which umbrella? Was it DC?
No.
Was it Marvel?
It was its own thing, I think.
Oh, so it was completely separate. We should have looked at this before we started recording.
I thought I knew this, and then I started talking, and then I'm like, oh, wait, I actually don't
really
know.
You have no idea, dude. You don't know what's going on at all. Welcome to Trilogy.
Publishers IPC Media, Fleetway.
Who the fuck are they?
some people. Well, no, he's not part of any continuity, like DC or Marvel or anything like that, so
right.
Independent.
Okay.
Yeah. And then later on, we're going to, after some consternation back and forth, we're going to be reviewing Thunderbolts.
Some consternation back and forth?
Yes.
Okay.
We had some consternation.
Did we?
We did.
Oh,
earlier
know.
Today.
They notice.
Yeah. Well, it was totally... Good thing you backed down, because really it was unfortunate.
Well, I think we both won, didn't we? Yeah. I seem to recall both of us winning the argument.
That's what you said. It's like, we'll just call it a draw. It's like, no.
It was a draw.
No way it was a draw.
It was a draw.
So anyways,
yep.
The movie Dread, we'll start with that.
Dread DC Comics. They published an alternative version of the Judge Dread between 94 and 96.
Yeah, but it's not part of continuity, though.
Yeah.
And they did do the Judge Dread Batman team-up.
Yeah, books. They also did Legends of Law. Lawman of the... No, that's 2080. Anyway, he's been around. Sorry, I'll shut up now. We're going to talk about the movie, though.
This is going to be fun.
It is. It really is. I don't know if we're recording good here or not. It's not too bad. We're good.
We're not talking good, so why would we be recording
good?
We don't
speak good.
So, it says here Wikipedia release date was July 11th of 2012, but they were previewed at a Comic-Con.
I have September 21st, 2012.
Well, in the United Kingdom, the release date was September 7th, 2012.
What the hell?
I guess maybe a British person wrote this? I don't know.
This is Paul Crossan's doing.
That's what it is, yes.
Damn you, Paul.
Released by Lionsgate, among other people. That's the most famous one you'll know anyways. Of course, based on the famous Judge Dredd comic book, it was actually made out of a movie, or what, 95, Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone and Rob Schneider?
Yes.
In the law.
In the law. I love that movie.
I break the law. I am the law. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it's pretty good.
There's that.
Yeah.
We should just do that for another 20 minutes. It's fun. Directed by Pete Travis. Written and produced by Alex Garland. Starring Carl Urban as Judge Dredd. Olivia Thirlby as his rookie partner.
Yep.
Wood Harris as one of the bad guys. I can't remember what his character's name was.
His name was... No, not Caleb.
K.
Yeah, it was just K.
K. And Lena Headley, or Heddy... from Game of Thrones.
As Mama.
As Mama.
Yeah.
Madeline Madrigal, technically.
It was about halfway through, I think, because it was really bugging me, because I'm like, I know the black guy.
Yes.
I recognize the guy
from
somewhere.
I don't know where you did.
And then they showed the Mama character much more. I'm like, I know that chick. She looks so familiar.
You didn't recognize her?
I totally didn't recognize her. I did not. I swear to God, I did not.
As soon as I saw the first image of it, I recognized her.
Really? Well, you must have been to Game of Thrones a lot more than I do, so... That would make sense.
I didn't really masturbate to Game of Thrones at all.
So you say.
I'm the one who didn't really get into the show as much as you did. If anyone jerks off to that show, it's you.
You've never been so defensive about masturbation before.
What, usually I'm like, yeah, I did.
Usually you just give into it, but...
There was a naked chick in it, so I probably did. But that's besides the point. And she had those eggs that were pretty sexy.
Anyway, I looked it up halfway through because I couldn't figure out who they were and then realized that she was Game of Thrones and that the dude...
I had no idea how to think for dragon eggs. That was crazy.
Woodhurst. That's a different chick altogether, by the way. Not even her.
Well, I don't like that chick in Game of Thrones.
No, because she's supposed to be... Well, she's the bad chick.
We talked about this
before. She's villain. Anyways, Wood Harris, I remembered him from Remember the Titans.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's right, he was.
Yeah.
But that's not where I know him from.
Where do you know from?
The Wire.
Oh, that's right, he was on The Wire.
He played Avon Barksdale on The Wire.
Yeah.
Very, very good character. And good actor, too.
He was okay. He didn't really do much in this one, except get dragged around for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much. But he did survive longer than I thought he would.
That's true. Being the black guy.
It's hard out there in those action movies.
So this basically follows the General Judge Dredd story, which is the world's gone to shit and everything's been broken down into these massive metropolis cities, which is Metropolis 1, if I remember correctly. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 or something like that.
Megacity 1.
Megacity, sorry. And then everybody lives in these big ass blocks, which are just really big apartment blocks. And the judges are the police force, and they can capture people, they can sentence them, they can kill them. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Garland began writing the script in 2006, although development of a new Judge Dredd film adaptation that would be was not. I love all these use of these commas. There's commas everywhere.
Too many commas for you?
Garland began writing the script in 2006, it was not announced that they'd be doing it until December 2008. That's not that long. Principal photography using 3D cameras and practical sets in Cape Town, Johannesburg, began in November 2010. So this is listed as a co-production of South Africa and England.
Yeah.
I guess it's an indie movie? Would this qualify for the Independent Spirit Awards?
I think it's a foreign movie, to be honest.
Foreign movie, sure, there you go.
I don't know. It was,
foreign language?
In some places,
yeah.
It was.
That'd be more if Stallone was still in it. If he was.
Yeah, that's true. That counts as a foreign language. Yeah. Well, everybody was wondering what it was going to be like, because last time they did Dredd, it wasn't very good. Stallone's is kind of recognized as not being that great, so. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Especially Rob Schneider being in it.
Especially Rob Schneider being in it.
Yeah.
But then they did this one thing, it's going to be darker and grittier, because everything today is darker and grittier. Even Superman, yeah. But, and they did it to a point. It worked quite well. Mm-hmm. Everybody wondered how Carl Urban would look, because kind of the Judge Dredd... Actually, Stallone did look a lot like Judge Dredd when he had the
helmet on. That's what we were saying. When he was just a chin?
Then he looked like Judge Dredd.
Yeah, it was actually perfect Judge Dredd.
No,
but then he took the damn helmet off every two seconds.
All the freaking time. Yeah.
It's like Spider-Man.
Carl Urban, not once. Spider-Man. I know, it's the Spider-Man thing. I was thinking through, I said Spider-Man can take a lesson from Judge Dredd in this movie. He doesn't take his helmet off once.
Yeah. Which, in that case, you kind of wonder, like, what's the big deal about the casting? If you actually, it could be a stunt guy under there. You don't know.
Totally could.
Could have been, like, the Peter Weller thing in RoboCop. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, does it matter?
Really? Unless they're being Bruce Wayne. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Which is why, I mean, I kind of read something about today, the original Judge Dredd, is that... Sylvester Stallone was too expensive to have him wear a helmet. It's like, well, why get him then?
So they had to have him take his helmet off a shitload of times to justify.
So people knew it was him.
You knew it was him by the way he was talking.
Yeah, it's pretty distinguishable.
Yeah, you can't tell it's Sylvester Stallone from the voice. You got a problem.
So that was part of the casting process as well, was finding an actor who didn't have too big of an ego to the point where he actually wore the helmet through the whole thing and just be his voice and his mouth, basically, and his chin.
Think Hugo Weaving in freaking V for Vendetta. You never saw him. All he was a voice.
Yeah, but he's not a huge star.
No, I suppose. And he was trying
to get Val Kilmer to do that shit.
Oh, he never...
Yeah, I don't know why
Val Kilmer. I don't know where he went with that one. Isn't he really fat now?
That's what I hear.
I heard he's like a blimp.
Well, it could be for a role. I don't know.
Really? Because of all his acting he's doing?
I'm sure he's doing well. I'm sure he's doing fine. He can get people to... What are we talking about?
He's got all that money from the Saint.
Really?
It's all that Saint money he's got.
That's all the residuals coming in from the Saint.
And Top Gun.
Yeah. That's what must be what Elizabeth Shue's living on too.
Yeah, probably.
Anyways, digression.
What are we talking about? Dread?
Dread, digression, yeah, dread. Something. Tomato meter for all critics, 77% on the tomato meter. For top critics, 64%. Audience, 78%. So I got pretty good reviews.
That's actually pretty good, yeah.
Considering what it is, frankly.
Yeah.
Action movie. Despite positive critical response, the film just over $36 million on an estimated budget of $45 million. So, did not do well. Actually, I was looking up today articles based around this movie. And on the AV Club, the list of the year's biggest flops.
Dredd's up there?
Dredd's number 3 on the list. It actually says here, box office $28 million on a budget of $50 million. So they have a bigger budget here than they have on Wikipedia. Number 1 was the Oogie Loves. I don't even know what that is. Huh. Do you know what the Oogie... You have kids. Do you know what the Oogie Loves is?
Never heard of them.
Okay. 1,000 Words. Oh, that was at Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah. That was Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
Box office $20 million versus $40 million budget. Number 4 after Dredd was Big Miracle. See, I don't even remember half of these.
I don't know what that is.
I'm sure I've heard them, but I can't be bothered to click on them. Wanderlust is Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston, I believe. They all go out to the hippie. Go out with the hippies.
What?
Rock of Ages. $56 million versus $74. People Like Us. I think that was a Chris Pine movie. $12 million versus $16 million. That's My Boy, Adam Sandler. $57 versus $70. Premium Rush. Really? Premium Rush. $29 versus $35. Red Tails. Which I think was that World War II. George Lucas movie.
Yeah, that was.
50 versus 58. But on the other side of that, an article just came out today. Apparently I'm dragging this out so we don't have to actually talk about the movie.
Apparently, yeah.
Dredd buries Frankenweenie in home video sales. So the sci-fi action reboot tops the sales chart. While Ted and Bourne Legacy lead it rentals. So Dredd's doing well.
Okay, good.
On video.
Well, it seems to be. I mean, it's... Which is weird. I'm really surprised it only got $32 million. That seems really, really low for an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Think marketing? Or I can't see what it would be attributed to. Well, let's talk about the movie. Did you like the movie?
I liked it.
So did I. Yeah. So, well, how come it's so bad?
I don't know. People just didn't get it or didn't want to see it or didn't like the marketing campaign. I don't know what the deal is, but I did like it. I was actually live tweeting it as I was watching it last night. And, I thought it was pretty good. I actually liked the style of it, how it was sort of low-key for mm-hmm. a futuristic movie. There's no hovercrafts or anything like that.
Wasn't crazy in your face, no.
No. And I like it. I liked it. Well, I got my notes here. Radiation boundary wall from Boston to D.C. That's what happens in the movie. Drones flying over city. Ivan, our friend Ivan, would love that.
Oh, he would love that, yeah.
Well, they're already happening, as far as he's concerned. They hang out at the Hall of Justice, so I didn't know Judge Dredd was one of the super friends. That was pretty cool. So maybe he is in D.C., apparently. No credits, which I love when they do that. No credits at all. It just goes right into the movie. The slow-mo drug. What did you think of the slow-mo drug?
I liked it. Actually, the visuals were really good.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's because I had a really, really good copy of the movie, or because it was really... it was pretty crystal clear.
Yeah, mine... I watched. Laptop, it was fine.
Yeah, I watched on my laptop too. The visuals were great. Like, mm-hmm. even when they did slow motion stuff, it wasn't obnoxiously slow motion. It was actually really nicely done. A lot of the details that were in it were really succinct. Overall, the stylistic look of it was really perfect, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really well done. People still commute to work, unlike most post-apocalyptic movies. I noticed that I was watching some sci-fi movie from like the 70s or whatever the other day, and you look around, there's like nobody around. Like, where the hell is everybody?
Yeah.
There's nobody around. So people, then they're chasing each other and shooting each other during rush hour traffic. Killed the civilian crossing the street, which was a nice touch. Usually, do you remember that? They're doing the very beginning, the chase.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy crossed the street and there's blood everywhere.
Yes.
They don't usually do that kind of stuff. Usually, you watch the movie, like The French Connection, when they have that big chase scene in that one. Mm-hmm. He dodges everybody. So, and same thing, nothing hovers, regular motorcycle, vans, cars, things like that. The hot shot, that was pretty...
That was kind of...
That was pretty Brutal.
It was. Well, I think a lot, especially with the slow-mo stuff, especially when they busted in, when they actually captured Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were all getting high when he kicked open the door, so the whole action sequence is in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot through people's cheeks, mm-hmm. and it was quite grotesque.
It was. Olivia Thirlby, the young recruit. I remember seeing, that was one thing about the trailers. I'm like, that girl's really young. She can't be in an action movie. But they explained it.
Yes, did actually make sense how she was a rookie. That's right. But she's also a psychic.
Yeah. Dredd has the Sally Field frowny face.
But that was actually really good, because that really did make him Dredd, that he always looked miserable.
Yeah. I just wanted to put Sally Field frowny face. Shout out to The Amazing Spider-Man.
That's right. That's one of your big points. She was miserable through the entire movie. She
never smiled. Aunt May should smile.
She did at the end. She smiled at the end.
She did not. She did. She was hurting.
She smiled.
That doesn't count.
She smiled. It was a bit of a grin.
The Peach Trees apartment buildings. I'm not even really sure why they called it the Peach Trees.
I do.
Okay.
When the director and the screenwriter first met, they met at a coffee shop called the Peach Trees.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, was it Atlanta?
I don't know.
Because they...
But that was the reasoning behind it. I did have an issue with the Anderson character, though. I thought it was a big plot flaw.
Who?
The rookie.
Oh, the rookie, okay.
Because she, we see her actually break down the black guy and make him pee himself.
Right.
By going into his head. But when she gets captured at the end, like, I'm like, why aren't you busting out your psychic ability right now? When he grabs her from behind, when he first gets hold of her, why isn't and takes him to the elevator? That, like, why
gonna,
are you not, you know, using
your... I was
going
to point that out later. She got caught really easily.
Really easily. Yeah. Why aren't you using your little brain trick there?
Yeah. She got...
Why isn't he shitting himself?
Easily. Yeah.
That was the only flaw there. You got to, you know, use a psychic and utilize it to that point and show that she has that much power and then not use it when she's actually in shit. It just seems like a bit of a cop-out.
Yeah. Or she has to be... Well, she has to be really concentrating to do it or something. She can't just whip it out.
It seemed like she just whipped it out before. Every 2 seconds, she's doing that like thing where they change the filters on the camera, or they put that little special effect.
Well, they need to admit that the cinematographer's got to get in there and change that shit, so it takes a while. If you've ever been on a film set, you know these things. Come on now.
Yep.
In a future like that, why would you want time to slow down? Would you just want to get through it as fast as possible?
I don't know. It seems like it'd be a really creative way to throw people off buildings, though.
Yeah, there you go.
It's going to take you forever to hit the ground.
Yeah. Nice scar. I mentioned that.
Yeah.
She's pretty messed up.
Man, she's ugly.
Yeah. One bad way to talk about this, Wood Harris, who played Avon Barksdale in The Wire. One of the best shows ever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of these days you'll actually watch it.
Nope, probably not.
The homeless guy had the sign that says, "We'll debase self for credits."
Oh, that was awesome.
And then, but the funny thing was, he was there at the end when they came out.
Oh, was he really?
Didn't you notice that?
I totally didn't notice that.
When they walked out, when they opened up the gates and everything, he was still...
He got crushed.
No, I'm wrong. No. No, not at the end, but when they came back out and more...
He was still there. He was. Just as it started to lock down.
Yes, and Dredd's like, "I warned you, dude. Come on, let's go."
And he gets crushed.
Got split in half or whatever. Yeah. I like that. The guy didn't even try anything. He's just like still sitting there. I like that. Gangbangers have lots of tattoos, which is kind of a realistic thing. I think that's kind of how we're going almost at this point.
Pretty much.
With their arm sleeves and on their faces and everything. Bad girl's rise to power is displayed by her taking over levels of the apartment complex.
Yeah.
It was a simple but effective display of her power. I like that.
Yeah, it worked pretty good.
It wasn't like her taking over the whole city or whatever. It was just this one building.
Yeah, and they had plans to expand out, but at this point, that's all they had was just the apartment block.
And you mentioned earlier when they kicked down the door and they burst in, they got the slow-mo effect and they're shooting everybody. That was really cool.
Pretty cool.
And when after they do that, he said, prepare bodies for recycle. So does that mean they recycle dead bodies?
They said it a few times, and yeah, I think they do in some way.
Just criminals or everybody?
Everybody. Because even when there was all those casualties after the car chase, he said there's, you know, this many for medical attention and this many for recycling.
Okay. So how do they recycle them?
They never explained it.
Did they burn them? Or?
I don't know.
Turn it up into bottles?
I don't know.
When you drink pop in the future, is he?
It's turned to make baby food.
Yeah. I like the part where she was kind of using her powers, and when they were in the elevator, I think, and then he's gonna make a move for your gun.
Yeah, and he changed his mind.
And he just changed his mind. Mm-hmm. When Dredd just grunts.
He was Stork all the way through. Like, he was. You gotta admit, the Dredd character never changed. Like, no. He maintained that same persona throughout.
I got started to think, is this when they start doing this thing? Because what happens is they shut down the actual apartment building. They're stuck there. I was thinking to myself, is this going to be a real Bravo set in the future? And it's, oh, that's really cool. That's one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
And that's actually, and I said that's because that's my idea, Hollywood.
What, to rip off Real Bravo?
Yeah. Oh. Actually, I want to do like Real Bravo in space.
Ah, Real Bravo in space.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you know what Real Bravo is? You know?
Yes, I've seen it, but it was a long time ago.
Okay, fine. Real Bravo is basically the good guys are, they have someone, they've taken a prisoner.
Yeah.
And in a small town. So, and they keep trying to keep their life going, but these bad guys keep shooting at them. So they decide, well, let's just bunker down in this, in the hole up in the sheriff's building there and bond together as men. Sing songs.
Oh, that's nice.
Smoke cigarettes.
It's a good time.
Get drunk. But this isn't quite, didn't turn out to be quite that way.
It wasn't really like that at all.
No. So I was a little disappointed with that. When she finds out who the husband of the woman is who helped them, that was a good scene.
Yeah, she got upset.
Yeah, but she didn't actually tell her.
No.
Of course not. When he comes out, throws dude over the balcony, pimps away as she watches, that was pretty badass.
Yes.
Just kind of walked away and she's just standing there watching.
Yeah. Him,
like. So that was pretty cool. Girl judge gets caught kind of easily. He does his big line, does kind of a monologue. He's speaking over the PA. He says, "I am the law." Not quite Stallone's delivery.
Yeah. It was much more subtle.
Yes, very subtle. Just like any line. He didn't even really emphasize it.
Nope.
Corrupt judges kind of saw that coming. All of a sudden his gun starts saying, "Ammunition low." I was wondering about that.
Well, actually, that was the other thing. It didn't bug me as much as the psychic thing. But when those other four judges come in, the bad ones,
mm-hmm.
that one guy, his animation's low within like, you know, a few minutes. Well, the whole time, Dredd's been shooting through 200 floors of people.
Yeah.
And he's only just hitting the low point now. I said, well, how many? And like, I kept thinking, like, how does he get all these clips? Where are all these clips going? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he's got some pockets, but surely.
And why didn't the other guy bring an extra with him?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I kind of left off of my notes because it was kind of getting boring. That's what, getting boring. Just kind of is like, okay, it's an action movie.
Yep.
They've really stopped with the plot. They're just shooting him up now. Cool when the gun blows up.
Yeah, that backfire thing?
Yeah, that was
cool. That was a part of the comic book, I think. It was always synced to their DNA signature. Yeah. So Ben Bales tries to do it.
Which they've done in James Bond now.
Yes, they have.
Except James Bond loses the gun.
To a Komodo dragon.
Yes. And it's kind of a worthless gun.
Kind of worthless.
That'd be a really good paperweight. But other than that, holding the door open, maybe.
Yep.
But then the girl, she does a spin kick and knocks out the dude. Which is, to me, it's probably just a thing with me, but it's like, why spin kick? Spin kicks, to me, are stupid.
Yeah.
Because you're whipping your whole body around just to get your foot in someone's face. Why don't you just do a front kick and kick the fuck out of them?
It's actually quite hard. I used to do kickboxing, and the spin kick is actually really difficult to do, especially, and it's even more difficult to do precisely.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just did like a front roundhouse or, you know, a side kick, you can do it much more accurately.
Right. Everyone's got to be a friggin' ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that shit. Anyways, maybe I'm just because I'm jealous because I can't do a spin kick. I don't know. But I was like, why spin kicks? I don't get them. I don't get spin kicks. All
right.
Like when the bad judge explains what a meat grinder does. He was very detailed on what a meat grinder was. After he said, you know what world's like the meat grinder? And then proceeded to explain what that meant. I'm like, thank you very much, bad judge.
You think Dredd got shot too easily?
Yes, that's exactly my next one.
Through the wall?
Bullet not only goes through the concrete wall, but through Dredd's armor too.
Yeah.
And Dredd himself.
Yeah.
And out the other side.
And then slides down, it's like, oh, well, he's fucked then now.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty much the end of Dredd.
Yeah. It's like, wow.
I thought it was a bit more badass.
The armor-piercing bullets. I'm sure it could go through armor, but going through a concrete wall as well, that's pretty badass, I guess. Dredd is no Stallone, but he is trying to be Arnold with all those nifty quips. He was a lot of trying to be funny.
He was, which is hard to do with that character anyways. I think he pulled off pretty good.
And the stitches?
Yeah, actually.
He stitched up pretty easily.
Yeah, I was like, what if I had internal bleeding?
It's fine.
In my mind, I'm like, isn't he bleeding inside right now?
I'm sure he'll be fine.
What if he went through something?
It was funny, too. They let the techie guy go, but the place is locked down, so where the hell is he going to go?
I don't know.
Should have opened the place up first before running off. Well, that's what they should have done, actually. When they're heading downstairs, they head out the front door. The other guy should have been standing there waiting for him. He's like, I'm waiting for you guys to get here. Anyways.
Oh, I wasn't too big on the ending either. The ending was literally they hand over the badge. She hands over a badge, buggers off. And then he's like, well, she made it. And credits.
That's it. Yeah. Pretty much. There was a lot of weird continuity with Mama as she's falling out of the window. Did you notice that?
No, I did not.
Because she gets pushed out the window mm-hmm. by Dredd. So she's facing Dredd. The next shot is she's looking down at the ground. You know, like doing a cannonball kind of thing. Or not a cannonball, but like a...
just swan diving?
Swan dive, yes.
And then she's a cannonball.
And the next shot, she's got her feet straight up in the air and she's looking down at the ground.
That was a little weird.
So it was like, unless she was twitching all over the place, that was weird how that happened.
She could have been spasming. Maybe she had a heart attack.
What did you think of that with the bomb thing and everything? I have to admit, I didn't quite get it. Was it just out of range? Or?
Yeah, it was range. Thank you. That's what he was betting it on.
200 floors? It was
too
far?
I was thinking, that's kind of a pretty rough bet to make.
Yes, exactly.
Don't you maybe want to just bring her in or something?
It's like, hello?
Disarm it later?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, you really want to take the risk and throw her off the balcony?
That was, to me, was quite the risk.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm like, really?
Ballsy, I guess, but yeah. If it'd been wrong, would have been a completely different end to the movie.
Well, but it wouldn't have been fine because they all would have been dead. It's true. There'd been no witnesses to him fucking up that badly. So
that was a little weird.
But and I wrote on Twitter when I was live tweeting. It's like kind of fell apart at the end, I thought, but for the most part, I liked it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
Maybe because I had low expectations.
Not Avengers good, Paul.
No.
Paul Crossan. I saw that today on Facebook. Yeah. Best comic book movie of 2012, sir. Well, I don't think so.
Better than Dark Knight Rises. That's for sure.
Whoa, wait a second. I'd argue that too. I like Dark Knight Rises better.
I'm sure you did.
Yes, I did.
I think we talked about that last
time. Yes, I think we did.
Let's get into it again.
Let's not.
But no, there's no way that this was better than Avengers.
No, no, not at all. That man's on crack. He has sex with goats.
Allegedly.
We look forward to our alternate Oscar show with Paul and John Cross.
It'll might be different this year. We've actually seen the movies.
It's true.
I mean, they haven't, but we'll actually have watched the movies.
And we have a female in the mix.
Is that who I think it is?
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Wahaha. All right. Anyways. So we're on to Geek News?
Yeah.
All right. Dredd. Go see Dredd. It's not bad. Yeah, Dredd's pretty good. Worth a watch.
You have the Warner Brothers thing. Did you have a piece of from Warner Brothers? I don't remember.
I got the web domain thing.
Oh, okay. That's not what you can tag onto this then. No. There's a whole bunch of stuff this past couple weeks with Warner Brothers. They're doing a lot of stuff this week, or last couple weeks. It's been a couple weeks since we did this. So,
yeah.
Warner Brothers TV settles some of the Smallville licensing suit. Apparently, there was a licensing suit based on Smallville. Turns out a jury won't be deciding whether Warner Brothers Television owes the producers of Smallville $100 million in damages after all. Apparently, they settled out of court, or it's been resolved.
No, good.
So that's...
happy ending.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was happening. Warner Brothers then agrees to license 8 TV series to Netflix. So, Political Animals, Revolution, Longmire, 666 Park Avenue, The Following, also Chuck, Fringe, and The West Wing will all be put on Netflix in the near future, which is pretty cool for those of us with Netflix. Warner Brothers sets mechanism designed to generate more animated films. So they're going to be doing, I think, more low-budget animation stuff. The picture for in the article is of the Lego Superman Batman movie. Hopefully that's coming out soon.
Oh, cool.
So they're going to be doing more feature animation. And the biggest thing that happened was Warner Brothers wins blockbuster victory in legal battle for Superman.
That's crazy.
So the appeals court found that Jerry Siegel's heirs have no right to Superman.
The lazy fuckers who have no talent, didn't draw the damn thing, have no right to...
The heirs you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're the kids.
Okay, I wasn't sure what you're talking about there.
It's not like they invented it.
Siegel and Shuster.
I'm attacking the Siegel and Shuster people.
Bastards.
The Siegel and Shuster kids.
Appeals court has delivered a huge victory for Warner Brothers that will likely allow the studio to control the future for Superman franchise from here on. Thursday, the Ninth Supreme Court of Appeals decided that lower court was wrong to deny Warner Brothers subsidiary DC Comics contention that it had a deal in 2001 with the estate of the Superman co-creator Jerome Siegel. I don't know why they call him Jerome all of a sudden. It's Jerry Siegel. As a result, the federal judge's 2008 ruling to allow the Siegel's estate to recapture Superman's right is being wiped out.
Wow.
So, of course, this had various people reacting online, things like that. And plus, I think it's wrong what they're saying. Like, back in the day, the story, the legend is that they sold the rights for Superman for, like, $130.
Yeah, I remember.
When it was, actually, like, it wasn't just 130, I think it was, like, $130. They'd be working, or they'd be making $130 a week or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was more money back in, like, then. The 30s or 20s or whenever this happened. So I think people are taking that out of context, but hopefully they do something for them, you know, as far as, like, give them something.
I'm sure they'll still get something. I'm sure they own some rights to something. No, but what they want is a little bit ridiculous. I mean, if my grandfather did something really cool, I get to live off his talent?
Apparently.
Go ahead and do your own shit, you lazy fuck. Anyways, that always bugs me with estates. I think, yeah. Like, the greedy bastards. Like,
litigiousness.
Even the Tolkien estate, always had issues with... what's the film company that does...
New Line?
Yeah, New Line. There's been lawsuits back and forth between them as well. Like, I mean, come on, you didn't do it. Tolkien's been dead for ages. Like, it's not like you wrote the damn things. Like, you know, give it to somebody who can actually do something with it rather than just sitting on it and, you know, collecting the royalty checks. Yeah.
But lazy bastards. But there's other things to do with that as well.
It's not that cut and dry.
The creative bookkeeping. People saying that the Lord of the Rings movies made no money at all.
Oh, bullshit.
I find that hard to believe.
I find that hard to believe, too. That's ridiculous.
So just in that sense alone, I'd be like, no, let's open those books. Let's take a look at that. And what were you going to say?
Warner Brothers also this week went ahead and purchased a whole bunch of website domain names, which hints at either, and they don't know whether it's going to be, this relates to a Warner Brothers video game or a possible Batman movie.
The theory was the sequel for Arkham Asylum, the game.
That's what they're thinking, but they've already had that. They've done Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. Yeah, which is a good chance because, I mean, they got ArkhamUniverse.com, BatmanArkhamUniverse.com, Batman Arkham Arises, Batman Arkham Begins, Batman Arkham Dark Knight, Batman Arkham Knight, Batman Arkham Legend, Batman Arkham Legends, Batman Arkham Knight, Batman Arkham Origins, Batman Arkham Stories... Dark Knight Arkham, DC Arkham Universe, DC Arkham Verse, the Arkham Universe. So I'm thinking something to do with Arkham. Seems to be consistent throughout.
Funny,
that.
It seems to me like it's going to be a third video game.
That's what it seems to me too. That would make a lot more sense. Although realistically, there's been some really, really good trades around Arkham Asylum. I mean, they could really do a full movie.
Grant Morrison's Arkham Asylum. I actually thought they could have done that as a low budget movie back in the day when they really wanted to get back before they Nolan came in. Someone should have done like a low-budget version of Arkham Asylum, the Grant Morrison book. That would have been amazing.
That would have been really good.
Yeah. Like Dread in one location.
And building. Yeah, and time-limited. Like, I mean, it's literally that period. They totally could have. And I don't know. Maybe they still will, but I don't know. Audiences like big, sweeping epics, so I don't know whether they'll ever go that way.
Which was the only... But that was the other way to... I would have thought distinguish it from the Schumacher movies. Because...
That's true. Yeah, that would have been a good reset. But, I don't know, like you say, I think it sounds more like a video game. I mean, they've done two Arkham ones, I can't see why they wouldn't.
That's what apparently the internet is for these days, is for porn and for speculation.
Yeah.
As always. But it's just like, come on, people, they're going to make another video game, let's be serious here.
Yeah, probably will.
It's nothing to do with a Batman movie.
Which is fine, we've both been good. Have you played the first one yet?
No. Thanks for letting me bore that.
No problem. No problem.
Since I have more stories, I guess I'll go back back with DC here. The next one coming out, the next animated movie, I should say, Superman Unbound, based on Geoff Johns' Brainiac storyline from Action Comics.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool. White Collar's Matt Bomer is going to be the Man of Steel, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
Castle's Stana Katic, Molly Quinn are going to be Lois Lane and Supergirl, respectively. So I'm looking forward to that. Always look forward to those.
Yeah,
and done by being executive produced by James Tucker, directed by James Tucker, who did Batman: Brave and the Bold. So this could be a bit of a stretch for him. It's more of a serious content than Brave and the Bold, but he was really good. He was always part of Superman and Justice League and all that kind of stuff. Batman, the animated stuff. They had some quotes from David E. Kelly about the Wonder Woman pilot that he did.
The Ally McBeal
Wonder Woman. Yes.
Cool.
Regretful David E. Kelly says Wonder Woman is ripe for TV. Apparently what he's saying is now that they had to put it together at light speed, and that's why it was so bad.
It's not because he has no experience whatsoever with comic books or anything right. like that.
We made a mistake with our version of it. My only regret is that we were never given a chance to correct them. We had a lot that was right about it and a great cast. In time, we would have fixed what we had done wrong. We just didn't get that chance. We produced it at warp speed as a special effects show, and it took more time than we were able to give it. We were able to give it more time if we had been given it extended, we had been picked up. Just learning the storytelling, the genre was very different for me, and I had a lot to learn. My learning curve probably would have gotten better. So he's saying, which is very true, actually, when you think about it. A lot of TV shows, the pilots aren't that good.
No.
But then they say that the network or whatever sees some potential and is like, okay, we'll give them a shot. And after the course of the first 3, 4, 5 shows out of, you know, almost 30 episode season, it gets better and better and better. So I can see where he's coming from with that. That being said, that was a shitty ass.
Oh, horrible pilot.
It was terrible.
Yeah, really bad. Not good at all.
Really, really bad.
Yep.
But he's glad to have moved on, and he wishes them luck on the new Amazon TV show. Do you have the Guillermo del Toro thing?
I do.
Okay.
It was released this week. Guillermo del Toro is, he's confirmed that he is working on DC Comics Dark Universe. So this one relates to, basically, as far as I can tell, and the story wasn't really good that I have anyways, he's going to be like Nolan is to, Superman and Batman and all that kind of crap, where he's kind of on the top.
Yeah. And where, Godfathering it.
Yeah, the same, but Joss, what's his name?
Joss Whedon. Whedon. I don't know why that's so hard for you.
Joss Whedon is to the Marvel Universe right now. So he's going to be over top of the dark stuff, which is things like Justice League Dark, Swamp Thing, The Demon, John Constantine, Dead Man, The Spectre, Zatara and Zatanna. So he's going to be grandfathering those kinds of projects in his spare time, which he has none of. So it'd be really cool to see how fast these appear.
Which, and yeah, like the day before this story came out, he had said that he had turned down the chance to direct Star Wars. He's got Pacific Rim still coming out. He's got all his other stuff going on. That was him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
This may be like, I might be, well, I guess I'll never have grandkids. But if I was to have grandkids, if I was that kind of person, maybe you'll have grandkids.
I'll probably
have grandkids. That's probably a better example.
Yeah, yeah, I got it, yeah.
You'll probably have grandkids before this movie actually comes out. But we were talking about this before, too, today. It's like, and people have speculated, of course, again, internet speculation. But it was based on the American Gothic Swamp Thing storyline, which would be pretty cool. That has Swamp Thing, obviously. But that's the introduction of John Constantine, the Etrigan, Dead Man, Spectre, Zatanna, Zatara. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be wicked.
I would really love to see that movie.
It'd be very cool if they did it.
And probably I'm looking forward to that possible thing than Justice League, because I don't know, maybe I have less vested interest in the Justice League Dark than I do Justice League. But speaking of the dark side of the DC, the new 52 anyways,
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it?
I don't want to talk about the story.
Wait, you want to go out of the room and
I just want to go stop quietly in a corner,
time out in the corner.
Fine, whatever.
DC's canceled iVampire.
No!
What was in your top three?
It's moved down since, but it's still in my top 10. I like iVampire. I think it's a good one. I like how it's drawn. I like the story.
Okay. So iVampire DC Universe Presents. They've now canceled as part of the new 52, and I don't believe they've yet said what they're replacing. Also, Saucer Country, which was like a Vertigo series. Apparently, they gave them notice that iVampire is being canceled, so they're going to wrap up their storyline. Not so much for Saucer County, or Saucer Country. The guy who wrote it, Paul Cornell, it was a creator-owned series by Paul Cornell and Ryan Kelly, and he was just told, oh, by the way, you're not doing it anymore.
And you're done.
So he's kind of screwed with that. So that's unfortunate for those guys.
Well, they have to finish the iVampire story. It's been kind of the same storyline that's been running since it started.
Well, and plus it's the 52. Even if that doesn't continue, they'll continue it along somewhere else.
I'm sure.
Frankenstein from Shade.
I'm sure Andrew Bay will show up, because he's crossed over with, he owes John Constantine favors, basically. So Andrew Bennett keeps crossing over. He's at his beck and call at the moment. So he's been in Justice League Dark, and I think in like 5 different issues. So I assume he'll keep showing up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now what?
This isn't really news anymore, but this week there was a breaking news that Zack Snyder was developing a new Star Wars film for Disney based on the Seven Samurai, which I thought was a weird way to go. But And this was going to exist outside of both the new trilogies that they're currently doing, because God knows how many trilogies they're currently producing. And then the same day, it was debunked by Snyder saying, that's not true.
Yeah, and like literally, like people were still posting it as part of their The Hollywood Reporter and things like this on Facebook. I follow all these things on Facebook, so I get these constant headline updates. And people were still reporting it as a news story after The Hollywood Reporter has said that no, actually, he's denying it.
The Hollywood Reporter reported that this from statement Zack Snyder's reps, while he is super flattered, that's what they say, he's mm-hmm. publicist, mm-hmm. while he is super flattered because he's a huge fan, Zack is not involved in any way with the new Star Wars. He is currently in post on his two films, Man of Steel and 300, Battle of Artemisia. Artemisia? I don't know what the fuck it is. Let's see what 300.
a lot of TV news came out this week because they are doing the upfronts, I think.
Do you have the Marvel Shield one?
Not the upfronts. Every January they do, when they're going into the new season, or the new version of the season, last half of the season, whatever you want to call it, they do a lot of... It's like the upfronts. So, mostly to do with ABC, as far as what we talk about anyways. Mm-hmm. Talk about Shield. What do you have about Shield?
That it's going to take place after the Avengers movie, which makes you wonder how Agent Coulson's going to be a part of it, because he died.
He's going to be the Vision.
Yeah, I know, you keep saying he's going to be the Vision. Yeah, okay. That, you say you're sticking to that now. Still your reasoning, is it? Because they say maybe he's a clone, maybe he's got a twin brother, which twin brother would be a really gay way to go. But
wouldn't be gay.
It wouldn't be homosexual. No, it would not be. It'd be homosexual at all. So homosexual. It'd be homosexual, it'd be lesbian, it'd be everything.
It's not a verb.
Yeah. It can be.
No, I can't.
Really. Anyways, it would suck.
Fine.
So I hope he is.
I don't know how, but that's better.
I hope he would be the Vision or whatever the fuck it is you think it is.
ABC is also looking at a Star Wars live action TV series, which people have been talking about that forever.
Ages. And they also said that they don't care that it's going to be a big budget. They still want to do it.
And where this got lost in the whole shuffle thing was, where's the Seth Green animated movie or an animated TV show?
No idea.
It looked really good.
Yeah.
The stuff that they put out on YouTube, it looked hilarious. I want to know where that happened, where that went.
It's gone. It's dead. Vanished. Pulled from the internet.
This story has been everywhere, so I'll kind of briefly talk about it. The Death Star. The Death Star thing.
Yeah.
What?
The Death Star thing is stupid.
Why do you say it's stupid?
They put together a fucking petition to build a Death Star. And the government says, no, it'd be too expensive.
What I think is funny, that people can do this, and they have to legally, the U.S. government has to, if they get a certain number of petition, or people's signatures, the U.S. government has to at least confirm that they've looked at it and really release a statement about it.
It'd be amazing to be in Congress that day.
That's the funny part to me.
Guys.
Like, they've got nothing else going on at this point. Well, I mean, they're all fucking politicians. They're all idiots anyways. But, so, it's Congress should have things on their plate. And doing things like, you know, actually fixing the economy or whatever the hell it is they're doing. But the funny thing is that, it wasn't the Congress who looked at this. It was people with budgets and things like that. So basically, did we even explain what we're talking? People don't know what we're talking about?
Briefly.
Okay. So what happened was, they get a petition together to get Barack Obama and the government of the U.S. to build a Death Star. A bunch of Star Wars geeks got together and figured this out. It would be a good idea. They petitioned submitted to the whitehouse.gov, need to get 25,000 signatures before the administration is required to respond. The Death Star submission got almost 10,000 more, so they got a reply about whether or not the government could actually build this. And it's been covered on Babylon and everything like that. Basically, the funniest thing was, the last thing they said in the statement was, why would we spend countless taxpayer dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship? I thought that was pretty funny.
That is kind of funny. That's
amazing. So, further proof that apparently that Obama is a geek.
Yeah, it's good.
Even though he didn't write this.
Do you see those pictures of him when he was playing as the kid dressed as Spider-Man? Awesome, yeah. Yeah, that was really awesome. Wicked.
That was pretty cool.
That made me respect the president.
Just that.
Him
playing along with
the kid. I don't care what else he does, but if he plays Spider-Man with some kid, I think it's pretty cool.
It's amazing that didn't come out before the election, though.
Yeah, I know. You'd think that would have been a good leak.
Yeah. Imagine if that had come out after Romney had won. People were like, fuck, we should have
voted
for Obama. He did the Spider-Man thing.
Romney never would have played.
Oh, he never would have done. He would have killed that kid. He would have had Secret Service come along and shoot that kid in the face.
That child's wearing a mask. Kill him. A Good Day to Die Hard gets an R rating, which is something I think people are wondering whether it would happen, being that the fourth sequel is given a PG-13 after all the three previous movies had the R rating, so it was kind of a bit too fun-friendly and had that guy from the Mac commercials. What's his name? Justin Long?
Justin Long.
Justin Long, yeah.
Who I like, by the way.
Do you really?
I like him.
Yeah, I don't like him. Anyways, so the new one is going to get an R rating, so he'll be able to say Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker again, which is great because he couldn't say in the other one, you know. It's nice that comes back because you have a Die Hard movie, you have Bruce Willis, you got to set the line.
That's important.
That is important.
I don't know why people get so upset about these things.
Who do I?
Who gives a fuck if you can say Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker?
Because it's.
Just have a fucking podcast.
It's John McClane. Jurassic Park 4 gets a release date. I didn't even know there was a Jurassic Park 4, so this is news to me.
Yeah, you seemed surprised when you
were talking about this. I really was, yeah. June 13th, 2014. So, like, next year, we're going to see another Jurassic Park. That's really freaking weird. I'll see it.
I didn't like the first one, so.
I wasn't too keen on the first one. I liked the second one even less. I did enjoy the third one.
Third one was good, actually. I was bored one day, and it was on TV. It's like, oh, I'll watch this fucking Jurassic Park movie. It was actually really good.
The third one had a lot of elements from the actual first book in it.
Yeah.
Which and the stuff that they missed out of the first one, like, where the fuck is all this really cool shit they had in the book? And they cut it all. But they put a lot of into the third one, which is good. Okay, that's all I got except for the Globes.
Okay. Quickly, I'm going to go through some of these. Peter David, who for years he wrote like Hulk, Aquaman, at the end of the year, he was actually on vacation. He had a stroke, which is too bad.
Oh, shitty.
Yeah, so he's actually there. They've done some stuff to raise some money for him. Apparently he's doing well. He's recovering well from a stroke.
Oh, good.
Sin City sequel casting news. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Right.
Who we'd all thought, or not actually thought. I never thought for a second. But that he was actually going to be Batman. But it was actually funny. It was similar to the Zack Snyder thing. Where it was like one day he was going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. And then he was actually kind of Godzilla was another one he was rumored to be in. And it turned out he was in Sin City. So...
Which is
there's fun. More, but that's all I care about.
That seems up his alley. I could see him doing the thing. Makes sense.
Yeah. I think the role was written for John. It was supposed to be Johnny Depp, or they earmarked it for Johnny Depp or whatever.
Oh,
and he can't do it for whatever reason. More stuff about Doctor Who, 50th anniversary coming up. BBC enlists famous children's authors to pen Doctor Who short stories for the 50th anniversary. So they're going to be doing a bunch of like little short film or short stories, and also a 50th anniversary audio special. Coming out in 2013, so that'll be pretty cool. We'll get more details as they come out.
Sweet.
Why the Last Man finally gets a director.
That's still going?
Oh, yeah, apparently.
Wow.
New Line Cinema's upcoming Why the Last Man. Where did it say? Dan Trachtenberg from The Totally Rad Show.
Nope, never heard of
him. I don't know what that is. J.J. Abrams. You heard about the thing with him and the guy. Did we talk about this before?
No.
The dying Star Trek fan who wanted to see
it. That was on Babylon.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if we talked about it.
We didn't.
But apparently that guy died.
Fuck off, did he really?
He died after watching the movie.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Shit.
That's a bad movie.
They shouldn't release it.
They should. J.J. should maybe go back and edit it.
Oh my god, he didn't like the rough cut.
He was like...
Well, that's sad.
But I don't want to live in a world that's...
But he was, he was terminal, right? I mean, he was.
Yes.
They knew he was going to pass away.
Absolutely, yeah.
But
it was actually, I thought, because they started talking about it on Babylon, I was like, did he fucking die before he could watch the movie?
I don't know, because that'd be so depressing.
That'd be terrible.
Well, it's good that he saw it.
But he got to see the movie. He did get to see it.
Great, good for him.
But also, other than that, J. Abrams this week said he was forced to deliver the new Star Trek movie in 3D for economic reasons. So it was against his will.
Oh, so he didn't want to do the 3D thing.
From the AV Club this week, I'm surprised you didn't have this, or did you?
No, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
No.
Some new poor bastard has been hired to run The Walking Dead for now.
Oh, yeah, shit, I did have that.
I'm surprised you didn't bring
this up. Yeah, I didn't grab any TV news, actually, when I think about it.
So they got rid of Glenn Mazzara as who was showrunner. Who was the number? It was the second
And then Darabont.
From Darabont. And now Scott Gimple. Who was Mazzara's number two and executive producer, who actually had written some of the better season two episodes, save the last one, and pretty much Dead Already. So now he's going to be the showrunner.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, thank you for confirming
that. Yes, I just opened the story, and yes, you're correct. That's exactly what's happening there.
Thank you.
Well done.
Kevin Smith sides with Maker Studios. He's actually doing this to get CSMOD on YouTube, get more viewers. So he's going to get some help as far as his internet sit. Smodcast internet radio.
Are you telling me to sit down?
Yeah, sit.
I'm sorry, I'm down.
Sit, boy, sit. Have you seen any of his stuff on YouTube?
No, I've never seen any of that stuff on YouTube.
It's really good. Some of it's really good anyways. They do the animations and cartoons stuff. Some good stuff. But he hasn't got a lot of people seeing them, apparently, so he's partnering up.
Okay.
You ever see Alphas?
What the hell is Alphas?
It was a comic book kind of TV show, live action.
Okay.
On Sci-Fi. So rudely interrupted. The TV show Alphas, which actually is pretty good, from what I understand. I've never actually watched it.
I've never even heard of it.
It's been canceled.
Oh, no.
No.
Never have a chance to hear about it. That's so upsetting.
After it just finished its second season, and it's been canceled with David Strathairn.
Who?
You know who he is.
No, I don't.
He's a famous guy.
That doesn't mean anything.
Created by Zach Penn and Michael Curnow. Now that it's finished, I could probably go back and watch him.
Yeah, I probably won't.
No, you won't.
No.
No.
Put it up there with a wire. Things I'm not going to watch.
And I don't even know for sure it's any good. Last one I'm going to talk about here. Diamond releases the top 500 comics of 2012.
What's number one?
Walking Dead.
Ah!
Walking Dead number 100 was the best-selling comic. Came out last June.
100 is crazy.
I bet it is.
Oh, it's crazy stuff.
This is a hilarious list, though. So, like I said, Walking Dead number one. Number 100 is number one. From number two all the way down to number 16 is all Marvel.
Yeah.
Uncanny Avengers number one, Avengers vs. X-Men number one, Amazing Spider-Man number 700, etc., etc., etc. Then it's Batman number 13 at number 17. This is going to be confusing with all these numbers.
Yep.
Number 18 and 19 are both Avengers vs. X-Men. And then from number 20 all the way down to 39 is all DC. So Justice League number 12, Batman, etc., etc., etc. Well, it's actually, no, sorry, it's all Batman and Justice League. That's all it is.
So DC
are
the really only ones. Owns those almost top spots.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Then Captain America, then Batman, Indestructible Hulk, Deadpool. Then it kind of mixes in with other ones.
I don't know, we should talk about this when we talk about comic books, but the difference between Marvel and DC. And should we talk about that later?
Later.
Okay.
Later.
All right. Sorry.
It doesn't really matter. the thing that I found interesting was the number 47 book is before Watchmen, Minutemen number one. Didn't all the way in 47. And if you recall, that was the first one to come out.
There's
a pattern. There's going to be a pattern developing here. The next one down is 51, Comedian number one. Next one down, Silk Spectre number one. Night Owl number one.
How did they judge this top 500?
Sales.
Oh, this is purely by sales.
This is on sales.
Okay.
Ozymandias number one, Rorschach number one. So they actually was, that was actually in order.
Going, yeah, but they kept going down.
And later,
basically.
down, even further, is Manhattan, Dr. Manhattan number one.
Dr. Manhattan never had a chance. Came out too late.
Never had a chance. So if you think about it, people read the first one of Minutemen. It was okay. Diminishing returns, more and more and more and more and more. And I don't even know if the number twos of any of those books are even on this top 200, whatever. No, 500. Well, they're on the 500 list, but they're way down at number 134, I think, is the next one.
Oh, wow.
Watch Minutemen number two.
Well, yeah. It does
suck. But then DC says they're looking forward to release them as trades so people can get the whole thing. They know people will wait for that kind of stuff.
That's true.
Now, award season. We're definitely in award season these days. The first one, we've had the Golden Globes.
Yes.
The Oscar nominations have come out as well. But before that, we had the Razzies.
Yeah, I know nothing about these, so.
Well, for those of you who don't know, quickly, the Razzies are the worst pictures of the year. No sign of The Dark Knight Rises, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right, because it wasn't the worst damn movie of the year.
It was in my book.
That's just your book.
Nominations. Of course, the winners are announced, I think, after the Oscars. I'm not sure, but around the Oscars time. So, worst picture between Battleship. again, they get another mention. The Oogie Loves in Big Balloon Adventure. I have no idea what those are.
What the hell is that?
I think it's a kid's movie. That's My Boy, 1,000 Words, and Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Are these the nominees?
These are the nominees for Worst Picture of the Year.
Good.
Worst Director, I won't say the names. That's my boy, Peter Berg, Battleship. He's pretty big. Bill Condon for Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2. Tyler Perry for two of them, Good Deeds and Medea's Witness Protection. John Putsch for Atlas Shrugged Part 2. Worst Actress, Katherine Heigl. Yeah. Mila Jovovich, Tyler Perry. Worst Actress. That's awesome.
That is pretty funny.
Kirsten Stewart for Twilight and Snow White. And Barbara Streisand for The Guilt Trip. Worst Actor, Nicolas Cage for 2, Ghost Rider 2 and Seeking Vengeance.
And Perry again.
Tyler Perry for Alex Cross and Good Deeds. Eddie Murphy, Robert Pattinson. I almost said Rowan Atkinson. Robert Pattinson and Adam Sandler. Worst Supporting Actress, Jessica Biel for a couple different movies. Brooklyn Decker, Ashley Green, Jennifer Lopez, and Rihanna.
For a Battleship?
For Battleship. Yeah. Well, it's the only movie she was in all year, as far as I know. Worst Supporting Actor, David Hasselhoff, Taylor Lautner. Hope he wins. Liam Neeson, Nick Swartzen, and Vanilla Ice. Worst Screen Ensemble, Battleship, The Oogie Loves. That's My Boy, Twilight, Breaking Dawn. Twilight Saga, Eclipsed. So who cares? Medea's Witness Protection. There's only a couple left. Worst Screen Couple, any two members from the Jersey Shore and the Three Stooges. Mackenzie Foy and Taylor Lautner, and I don't know who that is. In Breaking Dawn, Robert Pattinson, Kurt Stewart, Tyler Perry and Drag in Witless Protection, Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg, Leighton Meester, or Susan Sarandon in That's My Boy. Susan Sarandon was in That's My Boy? What the fuck?
What is she doing?
Worst Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel, Ghost Rider 2, Piranha 3D, Red Dawn, Twilight, and Medea's Witness Protection. Twilight got like almost every category, they got something.
Top of the list.
It's amazing. They are going to destroy these people. I mean, not really. They're swimming in money, so I think they're all
right. They are swimming in money.
But it's always a thing, too, whether or not people are going to show up to actually accept these awards. I think the most high-profile one was Halle Berry when she showed up for Catwoman.
That was kind of cool, though.
That was the year after she won the Oscar, I think, for that whatever. Monster's Ball, yeah. So that's that. What about Golden Globes? I forgot to say something about Dredd. Originally, in the script, the mama character was an older fat woman, older obese woman, and which I was thinking they're never gonna cast that. But you know who that was perfect for casting in that?
Tyler Perry
and Madea.
You know what's weird? We never talked about it, but the whole Alex Cross thing.
Yeah, that was messed up.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
Because they never... I didn't see them until they released a... Now, I've never read any of the Alex Cross stuff, but I did see Along Came a Spider and Kiss the Girls, which were both Alex Cross, right? Which was Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew who the character was, and my wife used to read those books as well. And she told me about this Alex Cross person. I said, well, it kind of sounds like the Morgan Freeman character. It's pretty close anyways. And then I saw the preview. I'm like, who's the tall black guy? Because I never see him out of drag. So I don't know who the hell he was.
Right.
And then I looked it up, I'm like, Tyler Perry, that's so freaking weird.
He was trying to show another side of himself.
Yeah, it failed, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it Matthew Fox, the guy from Lost? He looked terrible.
I have no idea. I'm not going to watch it, ever.
Anyways. There, Golden Globes. All right. What happened to the Golden Globes?
Golden Globes.
Should we talk about the Oscar nomination first? Because chronologically, that happened next.
It's up to you.
Okay.
I'm easy.
Well, you're the one getting texts and things here from your wife.
All I have is Golden Globes, so...
Well, we'll do this first. Because this all goes together.
Yeah, okay.
As we'll talk about in a minute.
Okay.
Oscar nominations were revealed. So, Best Picture... It seems like we've talked about this.
It feels like we have. Is that weird?
That is weird. Amour, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty.
This
is deja
vu.
We've
done this. I swear we've done this.
The big thing, what I really want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ben Affleck did not get nominated for Best Director.
But won at the Golden Globes.
You just ruined the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus he'd been, before that, he actually, like the weekend before that, he had won like the Directors Guild or something like that. Which is always sort of an indicator of what's going to happen at the Oscars. So, that was pretty amazing. He won the Golden Globe for Best Director, and he's not actually nominated for an Oscar. That's pretty... Because someone else, it was hilarious. He should have said in his acceptance speech, you haven't seen the movie, so you won't get this. But he should have said, hey, Oscars, why don't you Argo fuck yourself?
That's fine.
Because that's from the movie.
The music.
So you haven't seen the movie, so no. You don't know that.
Best picture went to Argo. Best performance by an actor in a sporting role went to Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained.
Christoph, sorry.
Best motion picture or musical comedy went to Les Mis. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture went to Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, which, of course, you have to give something to Lincoln because it's Lincoln. Can't overlook
it. He's a president.
Yeah. Best performance by an actress in motion picture drama was Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
For Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah. Which I had never heard of until, like, The Help last year.
Have you watched that yet?
The Help?
No, Zero Dark Thirty.
No.
I mean, yeah. Hugh Jackman got best performance by an actor in musical comedy for Les Mis. Jennifer Lawrence won the female version of that for Silver Linings
Playbook. Yes, she did.
I heard her acceptance was pretty funny or something like that.
Yeah, I told you that.
Did you?
Yes.
Or I heard from you that they said this was pretty funny.
Yeah, she was awesome. She said she went up there, she was thanking everybody for all their support, David O. Russell, Bradley Cooper, all these people, and she thanked Harvey Weinstein for killing whoever he had to kill to get her up on that stage. Which is pretty funny.
Didn't she say that she beat Meryl or something like that?
Yeah, she said, I beat Meryl, but it wasn't in like a, haha, I beat Meryl kind of thing. It was,
fuck you, Meryl!
Yeah, it was more like, I can't believe I'm up here, I beat Meryl Streep.
Pretty good. I mean, she's gone from being pretty much nobody to somebody in like 2 years, 3 years.
She was on the Bill Engvall show.
Weird.
Do you know who Bill Engvall is?
Yeah, I freaking do, yeah.
From the Redneck
Comic. Here's your sign. Yeah, that guy. Right? Hilarious.
Golden Globes.
Ed Harris won for something. I'm not going to do the boring ones. Best performance by an actress in a sporting role was Anne Hathaway for Les Mis. Ben Affleck for Best Director, which was what we talked about. Best Screenplay for Tarantino, because he always wins that every time he puts something out. Best Original Song went to Adele for Skyfall. Best Original Score, Life Pi. Best Animated Film, Brave, because there was nothing else. And then a whole bunch of TV shit that I don't agree with. So I'm not even going to talk about it. Before we mentioned about the comic book, the difference between DC and Marvel, I started picking up Marvel because you started telling me that Marvel was really good, and I didn't believe you, but I picked up to try and prove you wrong, and it turns out you're actually right, which I recorded. Got to cut this part out of the podcast now, too. The Marvel comic books are actually a lot better than the DC ones. Which makes me wonder, why are you such a DC guy if the Marvel ones are so good?
Just over the years, I've always just liked the Superman, Batman, Justice League more. Never really got into Marvel.
But not since the 52 came out, which has ruined your universe.
Yeah,
pretty right. Much. Got it. So looking at Thunderbolts, which I don't have any information on, do you have like a Wikipedia on it or anything?
It's not much available. It's just that it says that... it was here a minute ago, now it's gone.
Well, they're only on issue 3, so it's only been out for a couple months.
Yeah, it just says that because of part of the Marvel Now reboot or whatever they're doing here.
Yeah, which is kind of like DC 52, but doesn't have the same, doesn't have any continuity to it, apparently. It's completely cocked up.
New team composed of Red Hulk, Deadpool, Elektra, Venom, Mercy, and Punisher. I don't know who Mercy is. Will debut as part of the Marvel Now major relaunch, written by Daniel Way, art by Steve Dillon. This incarnation will not be a government-sponsored team.
A lot of it didn't make sense to me because I thought I knew who the characters were and then realized I had no idea who the characters were. Red Hulk I didn't realize was General Ross. Venom I always thought was Eddie Brock is now Flash Thompson and has no legs. So that was a little weird.
And where did you read that?
Read what?
That he has no legs.
That was in Venom because I went back and picked up the Venom series. Yeah, I guess I didn't show that in Thunderbolts.
No.
But yeah, he's a war amp basically. Mm-hmm. He lost both his legs sacrificing himself to save some... his team or his squad or whatever. And so when he has the Venom suit on, he has legs again because the alien symbiote, makes him.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
I liked it. It was good.
Okay.
Really good.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That is our shortest comic book review ever.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
Just watch it.
You can't watch it. It's a comic book.
You can't watch it. It's on your laptop.
You know, same thing. You read it. Is that the end of the show?
Deadpool is pretty cool.
Not doing Deadpool. Are you still upset about this?
No. All right, cool. That's trilogy.
Episode
number 39.
All right.
Good night.